Open your books now to chapter 2. Chapter 2 of the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 2. And may I say what Barbara said in brief, and I do not want to dwell on it, that you beautiful women, and I look back across the crowd and see several who are sitting alone today in church, whereas you had a companion seated by your side the last time I was here. I want you to know what I am about to preach will be a source of inspiration and comfort to each of you, and it will also be God's way of allowing the message of that other world to be heard by our natural ears today. Look at the scripture starting with verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And there were in the country, in the same country. What does that mean? That means in the same country where the miracle of the birth of Christ happened, there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. I want you to take a look real closely at the truth between the lines of this verse. It says emphatically that the shepherds were tending their sheep, meaning that they were supervising the grazing, which leads me to believe that it is very possible that the birth of Christ did not happen in December. It could have happened at any other time, possibly in the spring. And somebody says, now, Bjorn, don't be controversial. I am not. I'm only telling you the truth about the geography or the calendar date to let you know there is something more important about Christmas than December 25th. There is something more important about Christmas than trees and tinsel and toys. There is something more important about Christmas. In fact, it is so important that this glory should abide with us not one day a year, but 365 days every year. Listen to that truth. I must go on and read verse 9. And lo. Now, when you read the Bible and the word lo is printed, it literally means listen to, make attention to, give ear to, alert to. A lo, the angel of the Lord, came upon them. Who? The shepherd. And the glory of the Lord. Let's all say that phrase. And the glory of the Lord. Let's repeat that. And the glory of the Lord. That, my friend, is the glory of Christmas. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. Naturally, they were so afraid. Verse 10 says the angel instructed them not to be fearful. Verse 12 says that there shall be a sign, and they described the sign. Verse 13 says, and suddenly, there was more than one speaking angel, but there were angels, a multitude of angels, a heavenly host that was innumerable appeared. And what were they doing? They were praising God. And what was their praise saying? Now listen to here. This is the text of truth. The very message of praise, the very message of heaven is this. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's my text for this Sunday. There might be somebody in this audience that'll say, well, now look, Bjorn, it's over. And so why keep on preaching about Christmas? Well, if it's over for you, you don't know the glory. For the glory of Christmas is continuing glory. It always has been, it is, and it always will be. As long as God is God, there will be glory. Hallelujah. Because glory is the divine nature of our Heavenly Father. What you see here in this text, that the scene on the hillside became a scene of glory. That God would condescend to such humble estate to manifest Himself, it should give us greater respect and honor toward God, in that He will glorify even lowly humble estates with His divine presence. Now, when you read about this Shekinah glory on that moment of the birth of Jesus, immediately you must go back in research to find out when did this glory first appear. And according to the record in the book of Exodus chapter 24, there was a man who had been chosen of God to perform a great miracle of deliverance for oppressed people. And the people that had been oppressed and were slaves and servants of the enemies of God, the Egyptians, they met the conditions of the Father and allowed the blood sacrifice to be sprinkled over the lintel of their home, giving them a seal of redemption. Now, whenever they left the bondage of Egypt and they had their first miracle performance of God's presence at the parting of the Red Sea, they crossed the Jordan side. And according to the record, for years they stumbled, they staggered, they strayed, until one day our Father decided that in spite of their humble estate, they are children of redemption. They are children of a promise. They are covered by a covenant. And I've got to confirm my covering by a manifestation of my glory. And so in Exodus 24, God called that man called Moses, the meekest man known to live, a man who was slow of speech, a man who lacked self-confidence, a man who felt he was a failure, a man who had shed human blood, a man who had miserably failed. But thank God, he was a creature of redemption cause, and God, our Father, called this meek man Moses to the top of a hill. And according to the record of Exodus 24, while Moses was on the top of the mount, there was a cloud that descended and covered the mount. And according to the word of God, it had such an irresistible magnetism to it that Moses did not leave the top of that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights because he was sitting in the glory. Hallelujah! The glory of God. Now, many people describe glory as a cloud. Many people describe glory as a fire. Many people describe glory as an experience. But my friend, you hear this truth. The glory is the presence of God. It is not a cloud. It is not a fire. It is not a smoke. But the glory is the presence of God. Hallelujah. Therefore, we must live in the presence of God. Not just December 25, but we must live in His presence 365 days every year. Everybody here, say, I'm here.
I'm here.
All right, let's wade through some truth that will thrill you. The people at the foot of the hill, the Israelites, even though they were children of redemption, even though they had been delivered from Egypt by the miracle escape, they still did not have divine understanding of what the glory really was. For when they looked to the top of the mountain, they knew Moses was up there in the cloud. And according to the record, those people who did not have the revelation of glory called the glory a burning and a devouring fire. That's all they saw it, was just something that you're to be afraid of. Something that you're to fear. Something that is in some physical, tangible form. They were not aware that it was not a devouring fire. It was the presence of God. And Moses was sitting in the presence of glory 40 days and 40 nights. Let me tell you, friend, that the Spirit of Revelation wants to reveal to believers today. You may have been brought into the church by a profession of faith. You may have confessed the atonement covering for your life. But it takes a divine revelation for you to comprehend what God's presence really is. And I want you here to believe me when I say that most of us live in the presence of God in times of test and never realize it is God in us which is our hope of glory. Oh, let me tell you, God doesn't have to have just a cloud to show himself. He doesn't have to have a pillar of fire to show himself. He does not have to have a newborn baby in a crib to show himself. I want you to know God is in the heart of the believer, and his glory and his presence is the confirmation he is still God. Oh, glory! I said glory. Hallelujah to God. Preacher, I get happy when I preach in this movie. Oh, glory. That was the first manifestation of the Shekinah cloud. Yonder on with Moses sitting in the glory. God gave him direction. And you listen to me now. Don't you forget this. The real power of the glory is that it always expresses the will of God. I repeat, the real power of the glory is that the presence of God always reveals the will of God. So there on that hill, Moses got the instruction of what he was to do, even how he was to build a house that would become the receptacle of glory. Down to the very dimensions, God told him how the tabernacle was to be built. If my engineer will give me this mic, give me this one here, I think I feel a walking spell coming on. When God gave Moses the instruction on the mount as to how to build a house that would become the house of glory, Moses took those instructions and he took the commands of God and the very finger of God used a piece of rock. And God's finger chiseled God's will in the rock. Are you listening to me? We call it the commandments. God's finger was the scribe that chiseled his will in the rock. Now after a while, Moses brought the chiseled will of God in graven stone off the hill. And that became the tablet of truth. That became the expression of the will of God. If there was ever a question that came to their mind, they could go back to the tablet of truth called the commandments of God and could find out what God's will was. Now then, when he had built the tabernacle, it was a weird looking house. It had no physical appearance of being an invitation to the presence of deity. But when the tabernacle was complete, the outer walls were up, the inner court was finished, the Holy of Holies was separated from all the rest of the building, they started to move in the furniture. And according to Exodus chapter 40, when the furniture was moved into the tabernacle, they put every piece of ordained furniture in place. And then when they moved the ark into the Holy of Holies, and inside the ark, among other things, was the will of God called the commandments. And when the ark was moved into place, and the Levitical priesthood started to minister worship leadership before the people, Exodus 40 said, and I love this, when they started ministering and approaching the ark, which meant they were approaching the word, they were approaching truth. When the priest began to enter the presence of truth, the book says a cloud came down upon the tabernacle and the glory of God filled the tabernacle, even to the point that the priests flipped out. And if there's anybody in this room today that don't believe in being slain in the Spirit, you don't believe in the glory. For when the glory came down on that tabernacle, the priests were busy ringing bells and lighting candles. They were busy swishing censer in the air, trying to put the smell of incense everywhere. But God looked beyond their ministries. God looked beyond their service. God looked beyond the tabernacle. God looked beyond the furniture. And God saw His will inside the ark. And the glory of God had to come down to confirm and to prove the power of His will and the power of His word. Are you listening to me? My beloved friends, I want you to know that Shekinah glory has always continued. Wherever the presence of truth, which is the presence of God, was always honored. Every church that I've known of can forfeit the glory. Where they believe human idea, human philosophy, and where they put more emphasis upon the ministrations of the church instead of the presence of God's Word in the church. And the glory always lifts when you fail to honor the presence of God and the truth of His Word. But whereas that will cause the glory to lift, I want you to know this is what will keep the glory and will always bring it back. When we honor the Word, when we honor the Word, when we respect God's Word, glory will always hang over our heads because His presence accompanies His Word. You remember in the record of Matthew chapter 17, Jesus picked some of the most motley people. In fact, to be honest, I think I've got judgment to pick better 12 than He picked. Jesus picked the scum of society. Failures. In fact, there's not one single disciple that I know anything about that would qualify to be a deacon in an Assembly of God church. I mean, according to our standards today. I don't know of a disciple that would qualify educationally and perfect living to qualify to be an elder in our churches today. And not a one of them would qualify to be ordained into the ministry today, simply because they were shot full of holes of imperfection. What about Peter? He couldn't pass the test. What about John? He couldn't pass the test. But I'll tell you what Jesus does. He looks beyond our weaknesses and looks at the hunger of our heart. Jesus looked beyond their failure and saw there was hunger in their heart. Hunger for what? Hunger for truth. And hunger for the revelation of God's glory. And so one day Jesus said to Peter, James, and John, come with me. And they went back up on a hill. When they got on the hill, Matthew 17 says, a cloud descended and enveloped the body of Jesus. Matthew 17 says His physical body was transfigured. That means that it was almost a supernatural change that came on His physical body on that mountaintop. It was such a change until Peter, James, and John wanted to build tabernacles where they could hold or capture the glory. They thought if we can just get the right kind of church building up here, that glory will never leave. And we'll capture the glory inside the four walls of a church. But I want you to know it was the cloud that got their attention. But the cloud that transfigured Him was not the pure glory. What was the pure glory of that transfiguration? It was the cloud that was the vehicle
to get their attention to look at the transfigured Christ. But the real glory of that transfiguration was when heaven began to open up to the expressed will of God. And here's what God the Father rumbled out in thunderous clarity. He said, This is my beloved Son. He did not say, this is my Son, look at him. He did not say, this is my Son, just touch him. He did not say, this is my Son, fall down in front of him. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. Jesus was the fulfillment of the pleasure and the will of the Father. And when he became the fulfillment of God's will, he became the embodiment of God's glory. Everybody listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? When you honor his word and diligently fulfill his will, you will have his glory. Not just on Christmas, but every day of your life. His glory will abide forever. Are you hearing me? The glory of God is now about to be revealed. Like Israel never saw it. Like the tabernacle of David never saw it. Like the temple of Solomon never saw it. Like the disciples never saw it. The glory of God, beloved, is about to be revealed. Like no one ever who lived on the earth has seen it. You say, what do you mean, Bjorn? Here's exactly what I mean. The very Prince of Truth who came as a babe is about to come back on a cloud of glory and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And here is what the will of the Father will speak. Arise, ye blessed of the Lord. And I want you to know they're going to come up. They're going to rise. I told Barbara as I drove up, I said, Barbara, I'm going to look hard this morning to try to see Don sitting over there. I said, I'm going to look hard to see if Roy is sitting there. I'm going to look to see if Melvin is there. None of them will be there in the flesh, for they have taken a trip ahead of us. And I want you to know, since they went ahead of us in death, they will be ahead of us in resurrection. Hallelujah. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. Glory to God. And I want you to know, there's not a graveyard in the county but what's just about to see the display of glory. I want you to know, beloved, there is not a funeral parlor in the state but what is about to see the manifestation of glory. Hallelujah. Because the glory of God is the presence of God, and the presence of God is the expressed will of God. So be of good cheer. We're creatures of his eternal glory. Now, I see somebody in the crowd with what looks like an argument to not believe what I'm preaching to you. But I want you to know, Mel, the hours that you've been in the hospital looked at nothing but a ceiling and four walls. It almost seemed to you like you were in a paradise or a prison of hopelessness. I've stood by your bedside, and I've heard the very sound of defeat in your voice. I've stood by some of the rest of you in hours of test, and I've heard your voice begin to weaken, weaken, weaken. Tony, I remember when you walked down that catwalk to my motel room. You walked inside a totally confused believer. You knew there was a God, and you knew there was a will of God for your life, but you had lost the presence of understanding and revelation of God's glory. We've all gone through those times. But let me tell you something, beloved. when you are at your weakest and lowest and sickest and most fearful. All of those characteristics of the natural man never hinders the glory. I want you to know there was fear present when he was born. There was fear present whenever the glory came upon David's tabernacle. There was fear present whenever other manifestations of glory were there. When you stand and look at glory, you have cause for fear. But when you walk into the perfect will of God, and with Jesus you can say, Father, it's not my will, but it's thine be done. The very minute you make that commitment, thank God you walk into the presence of His eternal glory. And His glory will never leave you. I said His glory will never leave you. Oh, but it's been so long beyond that I've been in a dark. Look, friend, it could be that you may have been looking just for a cloud. You may have been looking for just a pillar of fire. It could be that you've been looking for some unusual evident sign, when really the cloud is not the glory. The fire is not the glory. The ringing of bells is not the glory. The real glory is God's presence, and God's presence will reveal His will. Am I listening to me? Somehow I haven't driven this truth home as like I'd like to. I am preaching you this truth to let you know that when we come under the blood, we become children of the covenant of glory. And as long as we're under the blood, we're under the glory and the presence of God. Well, I'm going to tell you this, then I'll close. Everybody says, I... Say it again. Say, I believe it's time for you to stop. Okay. I heard Sam say that, and I'm ignoring him. But let me show you something God showed me the other day. I'm over now in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. The rapture's already happened. The faithful in Christ, whether dead or alive, have already been raised. In fact, we're right at the end of Revelation 19 and the homecoming in heaven. We're just about ready for His second return to the earth. First His rapture, then His second return. First the catching away of the living and the dead in Christ. And the second, the return of those victorious believers in pompous glory, in the train of His majesty. We're in Revelation 19 now. And here's what it says, the first five verses. This is a revelation of truth to John. He said that he saw redeemed. Redeemed by number, so many, nobody could number them. He said it's quite a motley crowd. For I see them, they're out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Well, we see the crowd, but here's what they're doing. They're all before the throne. Even the 24 elders who represent the Old Testament saints, as well as the redeemed representing the grace saints, they're all doing one thing in common. What was that? They were before the throne, and the throne was covered by glory. Because God was sitting on it. Wherever God is glory. Hallelujah! Wherever God is glory! And so there He was on the throne, and the whole place was covered with His glory. Even those that were saved during the tribulation, they're also in that crowd. And I want you to know, friend, if you look at Revelation 19, that's almost a portrait of God's eternal family. For if you'll look closely, you'll see the picture of every believer from Abel to Christ and from Christ until now, all in the same photograph. Because it doesn't make any difference whether you were saved before Christ or after Christ. If you are in Christ through faith, you are a member of God's eternal holy family. And when John saw the picture, he saw the redeemed of all ages doing one thing. worshiping God in His glory. Are you listening to me? Look real close. Abraham's in that photograph. Look again. Dillard Bates, he's standing over there. He's tiptoeing so everybody can see him. I made it, thank God, he says. Get my picture. Brother Brown, you're going to be somewhere in that picture. You'll be all your smiling best. For this is a Holy Ghost snapshot of the redeemed and what they will do forever and ever and ever. Look real close, preacher. You're going to see your picture. You'll be in that portrait because you're in Christ. And if you look real close, somebody's going to say, well, look, there's Bjorn and there's Barbara. They made it. Glory to God. Everybody who is in Christ is in God. And everybody who is in God is in glory. Hallelujah. And therefore, the message of the redeemed is glory to God in the highest, and on this earth, peace, peace, peace. Wonderful peace. Are you posing for your picture? Are you ready for your face to be snapshotted? That's not a right word, is it? Are you ready for the camera to flash? Can you be included in that crowd? Somewhere in the paradise of the redeemed. Roy's picture's already been made, honey. He's just waiting for you to come into the focus and stand by his side. Revelation 19 is the picture of the ages. And everybody whose picture is in that photograph came into the picture by the blood, by faith, and by the glorious presence of God. Glory to God! Everybody say it. Glory to God! In the highest and on earth, peace. So if you've got peace, you've got glory. If you've got presence, you've got glory. If you've got God, you've got glory. If you've got Christ, you've got glory.